Good morning, everyone. How joyful it is to celebrate the good news of God's love. We are called to be Easter people, called to worship by Anne Siddall. We are not eyewitnesses to an event, as were Mary and the disciples. We have not journeyed through a dangerous city to seek answers or consolation. We have not seen angels gathering at the rim of the day, or wept in the garden this morning because we could not find him. But we are here to attend to a story that has not lost its power during 20 centuries of change and conflict. We are here because those before us carried this story as if it were precious gold, cherished it as if it were the key to a hidden wisdom. Sisters and brothers in Christ, take your places here today in celebration and in awe. What you are about to hear again has the capacity to change the world. Your very presence attests the rising up of life from the tomb of despair and to the uncontrollable power of God. It is Easter morning again, and we will celebrate. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. So let's join with our Christian sisters and brothers this morning as we celebrate Jesus' glorious resurrection. Number 76, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Let's pray. Risen Lord Jesus, as the rising sun scatters the darkness, let fear and the memory of failure be scattered from our souls, that we may live in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We raise up into your resurrection light all who are excluded from fullness of life by poverty, unemployment or shame, by injustice, criminality or neglect, by homelessness, landlessness or war. Lord, at this time we remember in particular the people of the Holy Land of Israel and Gaza, the place of your resurrection, Lord, which is surrounded with war and unrest. Risen Lord Jesus, let us be baptized by your resurrection light. May we trust in you above all else, hope in you above all else, seek you in all things, find you in every place, meet you among all people, know you through everything, and love you beyond all telling. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the tomb, you have given us the sure sign of your power to deliver us from sin and death and to renew our whole creation. We confess that we still fall into doubt and fear. We continue to cling to selfish ways and doubt your power to make all things new. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. Raise us from the death of sin, that we may live with Christ in the joy of his resurrection, now and forever. We pray in your name, living Lord. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. So we continue our Easter praise as we sing number 453, Lo, in the grave he lay. And I want a big up from the grave he arose, okay? Big one. Go for it.
not bad effort.
We're so familiar with the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus, through which we believe has received his resurrected life, that sometimes we lose the poignancy of the event. The grief-stricken women who loved their Lord so deeply and had witnessed Christ's excruciating punishment and death had been prevented from anointing his body due to religious restrictions. But their hurting hearts and the hungry love that they had for their Saviour caused certain women to rise early in the morning while it was still dark and hurry to the tomb to anoint his body with sweet perfume. But how their love was rewarded when they heard those earth-shattering words, "He is not here, but he is risen. Don't you remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee?" So let's recall those words again as Tony brings us our reading.
The reading is on page 1061 in the Church Bibles. The Resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Thanks be to God for his word.
Their night of weeping had turned into a morning of great joy. The bitter trial that they underwent was momentarily, but the compromise that they received was eternal life, as it was for all who trust in his sacrificial work and glorious resurrection. We who are his body are similarly called to undergo much sorrow and humiliation for our Lord. Christ identified with us in his death so that we identify with his glorious resurrection. We are called to fellowship in his suffering here on earth, which often causes us confusion and anguish and sorrow. But never forget, as somebody once said, that the joy of the resurrection, Lord, is our strength. And often the darkest winters we are called upon to endure turn into the brightest summer imaginable. Wonderful words. We'll think about that after we've sung number 295, "I Serve a Risen Saviour." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've just sung those words, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Lord, may those be the words that we take out with us. May we remember that we do serve a living Saviour. And may we too proclaim, my Redeemer lives. Open our hearts now, Lord, as we hear your word to each one of us. Amen. Weird as it is, now I can't stop thinking about lockdown at Easter. Because if you remember 4 years ago, almost to the day, I think it was the 25th of March, we got locked down, that we couldn't have our Easter service as normal. I had to write out a sermon, and it was given out before we had Zoom. Life before Zoom. Wow. But as was observed at the time, lockdown never really worked that first Easter. Nothing was going to keep Jesus locked down, because he was out. He burst out of his tomb. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That's why we have to come and to celebrate. But it did get me thinking yet again. And I question whether we are still locked down by our doubt and our fear, possibly our apathy, to declare these words aloud when we are slowly being silenced by either internal or external pressures. My Redeemer lives. How do I know? Because he lives in my heart. How often do we proclaim that outside of the safe four walls of our building? We heard our reading from Luke that Tony gave us earlier, and each of the gospel writers give us slightly differing insights into that first resurrection morning. And John gives us the beautiful encounter between Mary Magdalene and Jesus. But each describes the story that lies at the heart of the gospel. Jesus, who was crucified, has been raised. Early that morning, as we heard, the women discover that Jesus' tomb is now empty. The outward and visible sign that Jesus has conquered death and a new creation has begun. And as John records, he appeared before them. They are in no doubt that he is risen. And that is why we can say today, my Redeemer lives. As we heard our reading, it's obvious as the women approach the tomb that they have no thought of resurrection. They have come, as it says in some versions, towards the dawn to complete the burial preparations, which had to be left undone due to the beginning of Sabbath. Yet we see that they remain courageously faithful. Yet again, we see how those who have heard Jesus' words were still slow to understand and believe that Jesus had been raised just as he said he would be. It's easy to comment, isn't it, on that when we know the full story. We know what happens because we read our Bibles. But may we remain courageously faithful and continue to declare it. That's why we're here today, why we have something to celebrate, because people courageously declared their faith. We see from God's word that Jesus being raised from the dead fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. And at least three times in his earthly ministry, Jesus predicted that he would die and rise on the third day. The Gospels recording his words as they authenticates his own claims. After the horror of watching Jesus' crucifixion and burial, those who followed him are hiding in fear for their lives. The other women and Mary Magdalene, which the other Gospels mention, have overcome their fear with a sense of duty to care for the body of their Lord and teacher. Unlike the battle-hardened guards who, upon feeling the earthquake and seeing an angel of the Lord, they tremble and they seize up. But we note that the angel addressed the women and with words of comfort and clarification goes with them to the now open tomb. That the linen cloths are lying there are clear evidence that Jesus' body has not been taken by grave robbers or by the disciples or by his enemies. Because they are neatly folded up, it tells them that something supernatural has occurred. They do, however, affirm, as the New Testament records, the real physical materiality of Jesus' resurrection body. As somebody wrote, Jesus suffered as any man would, and then he rose as only God could. If Jesus never rose from the dead, there would be no compelling reason to believe that he is who he said he is. But the fact is that he did, confirming his claim to be God. We read, and our Saviour, as Paul writes in Romans, who was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life to set us right with God. A dead Saviour cannot save, but we have a living Saviour who makes us right with God and makes intercession with God for us. As we studied during our Lent studies, John tells us that Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And so we get a sense of her grief and despair in her tears. The Greek word used to describe her weeping, unlike Jesus' weeping outside the tomb of Lazarus and over Jerusalem, means loud, uncontrollable wailing. I shall say one thing for those Middle Eastern places, they know how to mourn. She was despairing that not only had Jesus died, but now she thought they'd taken away his body so that he could not be given a proper burial. John helps us to see that it was to people overwhelmed by such a dark cloud of grief that the fact of Jesus' bodily resurrection broke in with the light of life-changing hope. The fact that Jesus is risen and ascended to heaven and will return for those he calls his own can break into our lives with genuine hope during our worst troubles if we would only open our spiritual eyes and seek him. Troubles are turned to hope when we seek the risen Saviour. Our hope is in a person, not in a concept. What are we looking for? Is Jesus asking the same question of us this Easter morning? Through this encounter, we are taken from the darkness to the light. The dark when the women arrived and were perplexed, to the light where they hear their Lord is alive and are filled with joy and hope. We read that Peter was amazed at what had happened. And we know, spoiler alert, he'll be even more amazed when he's reinstated into the inner circle. Jesus' resurrection promises a new beginning that God has prepared for all who believe in him, implying a personal relationship that we too, who believe, are sisters and brothers in Christ. The news of Jesus' resurrection brought hope to people who were and are overwhelmed by hopelessness, disappointment, and sorrow. As Paul makes clear, Christ was the first to permanently rise from the dead, making it possible for a future resurrection for all who believe in him. Jesus' promise that he has the power to grant eternal life is to be trusted because he himself has conquered death. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," and in that statement claimed to be the source of both. There is no resurrection apart from Christ and no eternal life. Jesus does more than give life. He is life, and that's why death has no power over him. Jesus grants his life on those who trust in him, so that we can share his triumph over death. We who believe in Jesus Christ will personally experience resurrection, because having the life that Jesus gives, we have overcome death. As Paul writes again, death has lost its sting. The resurrection is the triumphant and glorious victory for every believer. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose on the third day according to the scriptures. And he is coming again. God has brought us to the garden tomb for this message and witness of the resurrection of Jesus. On this Easter Sunday, let us too declare by God's grace, with all that we are, that our Redeemer lives, and share the joy and hope of this encounter. Those first witnesses were sharing their story, and this is what we are called to do. Somebody wrote, "Go into the world, you said, and preach the gospel to all of creation, you said. So here I am, Lord, in my small corner of your world. Bless the words I speak when living out my faith. Inspire my being and doing, that my whole life might speak of the eternal love of the Creator for creation. Amen." Let's pray. Some words from Christine Syme. "Hold your head high. Christ has risen. Rejoice and shout. Christ has come calling us home. Home to the heart of God. Home to God's living presence. Home to his banquet feast. Hold your head high. Christ has risen. Death has been conquered. Christ has come calling us home. All that was broken has been made whole. All that was dislocated has been set right. All that was oppressed has been set free. Hold your head high. Christ has risen, bringing God's healing. Christ has come calling us home. Redemption is complete. God's eternal world has begun. Love reigns over all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ has risen, calling us home. Amen." So we'll continue with our hallelujahs as we sing number 689, "Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son."
Thank you.
pray. As Christ burst forth from the tomb, may new life burst forth from us and show itself in acts of love and healing to a hurting world. And may the same Christ who lives forever and is the source of our new life keep your hearts rejoicing and grant you peace this day and always. Amen. Have a happy and blessed Easter day.